Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Greta Thunberg got deported. John, did you hear the good news? Greta Thunberg, I just saw this via Truth Social, the climate alarmist, you know, the angry little climate kid from like Sweden. Apparently the climate alarmist rhetoric isn't cool anymore, so now you got to trade that in for your Hamas terrorist propaganda instead. But she just got deported from Israel. Apparently her and her her little boat full of Hamas terrorist sympathizers, they tried to go through the blockade. And they got picked up and got treated very well by the Israelis, by the way. Gave them some sandwiches and some beverages to drink. There's a photo of Greta Thunberg smiling because the Israelis were so nice to her. But now she's been deported. So,
you know, they just saved her life. They did, because if they'd have let her go through and just roll right up on the shores of Gaza, what do you think's going to happen? You think she's going to be greeted as some kind of helper, liberator, all that? No, they're going to have her for dinner, okay? She is going to be raped and tortured to death, held as a hostage. I mean, what would be a better hostage than this famous activist, right? Throw her in a tunnel for the next year. I mean, they just saved her life.
Yeah, it was interesting. Raymond Arroyo and Laura Ingram were talking about this last night, about how Greta was trying to escape to Hamas harbor.
If you see this video, we have been intercepted and kidnapped in international waters by the Israeli occupational forces or forces that support Israel. I urge all my friends, family, and comrades to put pressure on the Swedish government to release me and the others as soon as possible.
Comrades. Get her released. I mean, Laura, when you violate a naval blockade around Gaza, you're going to get intercepted. The Israeli boarded this alleged aid ship and gave Greta and her crew sandwiches and water, which begs the question, how much aid were they carrying when they couldn't sustain themselves?
That's pretty funny. Here, we're bringing aid to Gaza, but hey, you got any sandwiches? Hey, can I bum a milkshake off you?
Imagine back in the day, like the days of the pirates and all that. You know, what do you think, like, say, the British would have done if you come, bebopping up in your little boat through their blockade? What do you think they would have done? They would have put a cannonball right through the freaking bow and watched you sink to the bottom of the ocean, right? It's amazing how these people just pull this stuff with massive military and in our day and age expect to get treated nicely.
Apparently, President Trump was asked about Greta Thunberg and her Hamas Harbor trip as well.
She's certainly different. Anger management. I think she has to go to an anger management class. That's my primary recommendation for her.
All right. Hey, if you need anger management, well, call in. It's therapeutic, right?
Ms. Gump, your boy is different.
406-294-0970. If you need some therapeutic time to let off some steam, give us a call.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, looking forward to hearing the phone call from Carla in Absorkey here in just a second. Yeah, we had a graduation this weekend, or I would have been at the Gordon Chang events in both Columbus and Miles City, so I can't wait to hear how that went. First up on the phone lines, let's go to Kat in Eastern Montana, weighing in on the L.A. riots and L.A. Mayor Karen Bass. Kat, good to hear from you. What's going on?
Well, good morning, Aaron and John, and thanks to our veterans. We all know the mayor of the Ashes, Karen Bass, is at it again. What a total loser. But look, this is what I wanted to highlight. There's a very popular account on X who we all know and love. Her name is Data Republican. She published an amazing piece about MAGA and Republicans and maybe how we need to take some accountability. She goes on to say, real quick, I'll just give you a couple of lines out of it, and I'll repost it so people can read it. But it says, none of us held Karen Bass accountable, even though she was promoting communist ideology in the 1970s. This is on record, and as a consequence of not ever holding Mayor Bass accountable, this is what we get. Because of the lack of accountability, she is now destroying American lives. Conservatives are stuck in a victimhood mindset. We have been conditioned when we hold others accountable, it feels mean. And that's how we got here. If we can't summon courage now, we will lose in the future. And that's just kind of paraphrasing. I'm going to repost it for people. But, you know, sometimes the best thing to do is to take some accountability and think and reflect. And we need to stop this from happening in the future. She is unfit to serve, and she should not be holding a mayor position in the city of L.A. And so I just wanted to say good morning. Thank you, guys. God bless. And that is my piece on Mayor of the Ashes, Karen Bass.
All right. Thanks, Kat. Good to hear from you. Yeah, I guess, John, are conservatives to blame for L.A. Mayor Karen Bass? I think the Democrats in Los Angeles are to blame for L.A. Mayor Karen Bass. I mean, Donald Trump went after her. We all went after her, especially after she was partying overseas while her city was burning down. And she got a warning that it was going to have that the dangerous conditions were there. And then what is she doing? I mean, has Bill Maher even been able to repair his roof yet following the fires of L.A.? And now she just sits there and complains while Trump tries to stop the next L.A. burning from happening?
It's on them. And going after her, and people did call her out for being a communist. But see, in deep blue L.A., like, you know, deep blue New York, these places like Detroit, some of these other, these cities are lost. They are absolutely lost. And you going calling her a communist is going to be a badge of honor for her. It's going to get her votes in that city. And right now, like Dan Bongino has been saying it for years, these people have to reach their pain threshold, like they did with these DAs. They've kicked out a couple of these DAs, right? Because there's like, enough, we have to have people charged and arrested. They're going to have to reach their pain threshold until they decide they've had enough, you know, let it burn.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is, we were, you know, kind of joking earlier off air that, you know, who needs to watch this this Pedro Pascal show? You don't need to watch season two anyway. It's a waste of time. But who needs to watch the Pedro Pascal The Last of Us when you've literally got the zombie movie playing out in real time right now, which is Los Angeles? All right. Gordon Chang, the China expert, Gordon Chang, he got to join us here on Montana Talks. It was so great to catch up with him, but I really wish I could have been at the events in Columbus and Miles City over the weekend as well. Carla in Absorkey, how was Gordon Chang?
Oh, my gosh, it was epic. Good morning, Aaron.
Yeah, good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. Yep, you guys missed a great, very, very, Lydia and him are very gracious guests. I think they, out of all my touring and having people come, they were just amazing. And everyone that was there was coming up and saying how they just couldn't believe he was here. You know? So it was a pretty epic event. And if you missed it, I'm sorry. But, yes,
what did he say that stood out? What do you think was the most powerful point that he made? Or I'm sure he kind of had a Montana-specific angle to his talk as well.
He did. I think, believe he lived there a couple of decades, but he was just saying how, you know, I think, which I've been doing for years, we need to, the best way to do it is to quit buying China products because that will take them down faster than anything. And I've been doing that for probably 20 years now anyway. But that was pretty... stood out pretty prominent to me that you got to get them in the pot to foot. Basically, that's where you get them.
And, I mean, it would have been like back in the 80s if we were just continuing to buy and fund the Soviets in their you know military expansion against us. Like by not standing up to China now, and by we're basically funding them to build weapons against us.
Correct. And so, anyway, I wanted to move on to another little topic that, unfortunately, I was busy working, you know, to get the event, you know, orchestrated and everything. But I wanted to comment on Montana GOP Chair Don Kaye. Apparently he was endorsing the candidates for the new Montana GOP, but he was bashing one of the candidates, which was Tanner. And so I kind of felt like, is Tanner over the target? Why is he being bashed? And for me, I feel like, you know, Tanner's the only really principled candidate for small government. So, like, if people want to keep getting, because Montana, unfortunately, whether we want to admit it or not, we're growing toward more bigger government. We could see this in our last legislation, which is very, very scary. But
interesting. Yeah. So Carl is talking about the race for chair of the Montana GOP. Hold that thought. I'll play audio of what Don Kaye had to say next.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, so this is a little bit of inside baseball, but so last week, now our statewide audience here in our 9 o'clock hour wouldn't have heard this. It is on our Montana Talks podcast if anybody wants to go back and listen to it. But I did an interview with Don Kaye, the chairman of the Montana Republican Party. Don Kaye has had an incredibly successful tenure as chair of the Montana GOP now for, I think, close to 6 years. He was telling me he raised $32 million as chairman of the GOP. Every statewide office in Montana is now held by Republicans. They got all the statewide office holders reelected. Finally took out old flip-flop, flat-top liberal Senator John Tester. That was a massive coup. And, of course, Don Kaye was a big part of that as well. But I was talking with Don Kaye. So he is not going to run for reelection as chairman of the Montana GOP. And the Montana GOP convention is later this month, because I'll have the honor of being the MC for their banquet for their dinner on Friday night. But then that Saturday, I believe, is when they're going to have their elections for the next party chair. And what I was telling, so as I was talking with Don Kaye, you know, we were talking about all of the success that he's had during his tenure as chairman. But then I said, you know, there's a lot of folks out there who are concerned about the future of the GOP as a state party, you know, because of all the divisiveness in the legislative session. They're worried that essentially the wheels could totally come off the Republican Party, you know, under the next chairman, potentially, right? Because of all the divisiveness and because you had, you know, the nine in particular, you know, undermining their party leadership. But depending on which direction the party goes, the wheels could totally come off. Now, I believe that Republicans and conservatives can still win elections, even if the state party doesn't raise that much money and is kind of MIA from the elections game. But nonetheless, it makes it more challenging if the party just starts to implode. So that kind of set up. But anyway, your thoughts on that before I play what Don Kaye actually had to say with regard to the chairman elections.
The criticism I've heard is, yes, you make that very good point, is that on the federal side, you know, with the federal elections, you know, with Tim Sheehy and the new Congressman Downing and all that, getting rid of Tester and all that, the Montana GOP has done really well. It seems like, though, they have kind of ignored or let the state level go by the wayside. And that's what caused this. Let's just say it flat out. This was a national embarrassment, what just happened in the Montana legislature.
Yeah.
Okay, it made the New York Times.
And it's been happening to other legislators.
Yeah.
Texas and some of these other states, solid red states. And then you look at their legislature and you're like, what in the world is going on here?
Where people are not paying attention to who they are voting for. They send these people up there that say they are Republicans when they're actually just Democrats. And they get up there and vote and govern like Democrats, which is why you've heard me on your program say, hey, watch out for this certain language, you know, when people are saying these things, they are gaslighting you. You have to be, voters have to be watching this, and, you know, whatever leadership is going to be up there in Helena now, they have got to make that their number one priority, is get all the cats marching in the same line. This is the agenda, boys and girls, and this is what all of you are going to do. It doesn't matter if you're on this side or this side, you are all marching to my tune.
Well, and so, like, we've even seen at the county level, like, where, for example, where a county political party central committee will endorse candidate A, and then the Republican voters still go the other direction. Or they will be all on board with topic B, but the voters go the opposite of topic B, right? And so my point is, okay, what's the most effective way to do that? Well, what do the moderates do? They go out and start their own political action committee, and they raise a bunch of money, and then they fund their primary campaigns so they can have, you know, advertising, so they can have mailers go out. Why don't the more conservative candidates ever do that? Instead, they just sit back and, oh, well, we got the endorsement of Group A or Group B. And my point is, like, hey, go out, start your own political. If truly what you want to address is the fact that conservative candidates are losing to more moderate Republicans in the primary, then why don't the more conservative groups go out and start their own political action committees and raise the money so they can win in the primary election? And just like the Supreme Court races, it just seems like the more conservative folks don't get organized and get the political fundraising that's needed to win some of these races.
The other thing I see, too, yeah, there's the money, and then there's the name and shame. You just don't see that here in Montana. I don't know if everybody's playing it like Marcus of Queensbury rules and playing it like gentlemen or whatever, but you cannot do that. These people that vote like Democrats have got to get named and shamed. And when you have to primary them, and then when you're primary, then you just have to walk around in these town halls with the proof of, here's this guy voting to give illegal aliens driving permits. Okay, here is the proof of where he got censured by the Montana GOP. Okay, you have to name and shame.
Well, and of course, you know, Don Kay, he talked about that too, that was one of the saddest, he talked about it being one of the saddest things of his tenure, was seeing the infighting in the legislative session and seeing these, you know, nine in particular vote to undermine their elected caucus leadership. But so I asked him, I said, okay, so what does the future look like? I mean, what happens if potentially all of this infighting takes over the state party? They still don't get their desired outcome of getting more conservative candidates out of the primary, and then they destroy the Republican Party in the process. Now, and then anyway, here's what Don Kay had to say in response. Let me pull it up from the transcript here, because, you know, we had talked about how the state, that's happened before, where the state Republican Party didn't raise any money and then basically became combat ineffective in the major election cycles.
Well, it's happened before, as you mentioned, and I hope it doesn't happen again. We've got four candidates running, you have Stacey Zinn, who's a very good leader, and you know, guys know her over there in Yellowstone County. We have Troy Miller out of Gallatin County, an excellent fundraiser. We have Art Wittick, who is done a great job. You know, he was my committee man for quite a while, and very, he knows how the party works. He understands the whole setup, and you know, would be a great leader as well. And then Tanner Smith, who wants to, you know, purify the party. And unfortunately, I have some very big concerns that he'll be able to raise any money for the party, because the checkbooks will probably close. So we've got him running as well. So it's going to be, it's going to depend basically on what the party wants to do. You know, the voters, the central committees, and the legislators. And I would urge them all to show up and to vote their conscience. And whoever they choose, whether it be any of the four that I mentioned, and there may be another one that jumps in that I don't know about, but those are the four that's indicated that they want to run. If you know, any of them, we need to get behind and support them.
All right, anyway, so that's what Don Kaye had to say. So if Carlin Absorki earlier referenced hearing about that phone call. So, yeah, and Carlin, message us on the Montana Talks app now that you're able to hear what he had to say with more thoughts. But, yeah, to me, John, the bigger picture is okay, I think everybody's in agreement. All conservative, names that we heard there, everybody's in agreement that, look, the state has moved into the solid red category. Now we want to see legislative outcomes that mirror that solid red category. We need a Supreme Court that isn't run by this left-wing mob right now. The question is, what's the best way to go about it? And I think so often some of these more conservative candidates in these primaries, they don't raise the money necessary, and then the other side comes in with the hospital association money and with the Chamber of Commerce money and all these other funds, and then they come out victorious in the primary.
Translate that. They come in with the Democrat money. That's what that is. But it's also important to where, I mean, despite, you know, some listeners out there might think that I'm just this choleric, bombastic loudmouth. But I do.
Talk about vocabulary. Mr. Big Words over here. Look at that.
Check out the big brain on Brad. Yeah. But I do subscribe
to be a butt genius.
To the Roadhouse philosophy is be nice until it's time to not be nice. And of course, You have to come with the carrot and the stick always. We want to negotiate. We want to be nice. We want everybody to just voluntarily come along. But for those very, very few who won't respond to the carrot, you got to be ready with the stick.
Well, and either way, if you back certain candidates in the primary, start raising the money to back certain candidates in the primary. You know what I'm saying? And because I just remember, I've seen it in school board elections. What you will see all these groups come out of the woodwork. Well, I'm so-and-so, and I have blah, blah, blah group. Cool. And we endorse so-and-so. Cool. But if they don't hear it 30 times in every morning on the radio, if they don't get the flyers in their mailbox telling them that group A supports candidate B, then it's kind of one of those, you know what I mean? If the tree falls in the forest and nobody heard it kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm president of this coalition for the blah, 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 and we endorse, oh, great. Your 57 people that are in your group, they all, oh, yeah, man, that's a big voting block you got there.
And what are those 57 people doing? Getting together on Wednesday and having coffee and crumpets and talking about it? Or are you doing something about it? You know, are you hitting the doors? Are you going door to door? Are you making phone calls and everything?
Well, and let's face it, you know, these people you're talking about, these Democrats that you know, the nasty nine, you know, the people in the House and in the Senate, they're getting all of that money. When they put these PACs together, these groups together, and they get all this money, it's because everybody knows what the deal is. Hey, we got some guys that are going to subvert the Montana legislature this time and take control away from the Republicans. Oh, heck yeah. Get these people money quick.
Well, and let's see, man, there's so much to talk about here. I see we got to hit the next break here. All right, another topic I want to get to here, John. The Montana Family Foundation files a major legal challenge to strike down Constitutional Initiative 128, CI 128. You remember that one from last year? So CI 128 was this really deceptively written ballot initiative. They didn't tell you what it would really do, but it really was to have no limits abortion on demand all the way up until the due date. Anyway, we'll tell you about that challenge next.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Now that spring planting is pretty much wrapped up, ag producers should make an appointment with their local Farm Service Agency county office to complete crop acreage reports before their deadlines. July 15th is a major deadline for most crops, but acreage reporting deadlines may vary by county and crop. To file a crop acreage report, producers need to provide a number of facts, including crop type or variety and the number of crop acres. More information can be found at fsa.usda.gov or by contacting your local FSA office. Looking to other news, the American Farm Bureau Federation, in partnership with Farm Credit, has extended the deadline for entrepreneurs to apply online for the 2026 Farm Bureau Ag Innovation Challenge to June 15th. Now in year number 12, the National Business Competition showcases U.S. startup companies developing innovative solutions to challenges faced by America's farmers, ranchers, and rural communities. The overall winner of the competition receives $100,000 in startup funds. The runner-up will be awarded $25,000, and two additional business owners who advance to the final four round will receive $10,000. If you have a vision for how your business can drive agriculture forward, apply today. Again, that application deadline period closes on June 15th. Visit fb.org/challenge for details. I'm Wayne Northland.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, John and I were joking about all the big words he's using on the radio today here. Yeah, choleric, bombastic. I feel there's like a Johnny Cochran impersonation from Seinfeld here at some point.
I know you've seen that our friend Hakeem Jeffries has weighed in on these things here, and he is the true personification of Oswald Bates from In Living Color, which he says, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, the extrapolation of the, the ejaculation to the flatulence of our situation here is that the Republicans are racist.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, now I know who Oswald Bates is. So in Living Color, that was it Marlon Wayans? It was Damon Wayans.
Damon, yeah.
And he was like the prison philosopher, right?
Yeah. He had on like the prison guy that all he did all day was just read the dictionary, but he didn't know how to...
tell you about
he didn't know how to use the words.
Oh, man, that was such a great show. Let's see. Phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970. Caden's wondering, how many bleeps did I need in that one? I don't think all those words were safe.
Those are all good, Caden. Those are medical terms
we
right
still
there.
We still should have warned the kids in the car to, earmuffs, but I think they're bleep friendly at least, so you're good on that.
It's a good thing we got Caden in there. Travis would have just passed out.
Oh, he would have bleeped
right
every
yeah.
Beep, 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 beep,
I hope Travis is listening.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've been so blessed to have great producers here. That's for sure. Mike in Bozeman on the phone lines. What's going on, Mike?
Gentlemen, I have to emphasize the importance of study, and I mean with books. And I bring the topic up of the L.A. riots and your conversation about opportunists and that they're not, you didn't allow the word communist to be used on them. The behavior of
we allowed
individuals
it. We just
is
expanded
communistic.
It. There's other thugs
so
in the mix.
They've got to be considered as communists. And this book, Domestic Enemies, by Daniel Greenfield, The Founding Fathers Fight Against the Left, goes back to the origins of the political left in the country at its founding and how it has evolved over the decades to the present and captured the Democrat Party. And the Democrat Party has now, with their superficially shallow name of democracy, has allowed them to be the cover and the protector of all of the left radicalism and terrorism and damage and rioting in this country. And you don't know that by just listening to the mainstream media or even our own Voices of Montana in enough detail to fully understand what in the world the modern Democrat Party has evolved from, what they are in the present, and what their direction they're evolving into.
Well, yeah, I think so. When John described them as communist rioters, I wasn't saying you can't use that word or you shouldn't use that word. The point that I was making is that there are others that are other opportunists that are in on the mix as well. Because as I've been pointing out, I mean, the very groups that are funding these riots, it's already being exposed. The Daily Caller has a report about how a pro-communist China millionaire is funding these socialist groups that are staging these riots in the streets. The Daily Wire has another report here on the similar front. We've got these left-wing NGOs, some of which were funded with our own taxpayer dollars that are funding these riots here. But I think, John, you understood the point that I was making was oh, now it's about getting my free iPhone. So now all these other opportunists are jumping in on the rioting so they can go get their new iPhone out of the deal as well.
Oh, no, they were just looking for bread, Aaron. They thought that was the bread store. Isn't that what AOC told us? They're just out there looting for bread.
Yeah,
I think that's what she told us.
They just need some food. Yeah, just starving people.
Everything everybody, people need to know, this is not your grandpa's Democrat Party. They are absolute 100% behind the entire communist ideology. And if they had their way, if they had their druthers, they would put an absolute and permanent end to all this democracy they screech about. They would take all of your Adam Schiff. They would seize all of your Adam Schiff, and any of you that talk back are going to jail, or you're going to be lined up against the wall and get shot.
They cheered on every one of the 100 plus BLM riots of 2020. When Trump was going to send out the guard to stop those riots, they complained and whined and pissed and moaned about that one, just like they're complaining about the National Guard being called out to quell these riots. And then what's their one response, John? Their one response is, what about January 6th? Well, Donald Trump also wanted National Guard there on January 6th as well. And Nancy Pelosi and the mayor of D.C. rejected it. So Stephen Miller pointed it out. The Democrat Party is in open rebellion against the United States of America. What's happening in California right now, L.A. burning, and then all these Democrats other than John Fetterman are out there attacking Trump and promoting this lawlessness or downplaying it.
As I said in the previous hour, this is the defining moment of Donald Trump's presidency. He must put this rebellion down, number one, and he must. You watch out for this. In the next 24, 48 hours, you will very likely have some federal judge out there in California try to tell the president what he can and can't do with his own military troops as the commander-in-chief. That will be the second defining moment, because he is going to have to stand up right then and there, not talk about appeals, not talk about the court process. He's going to have to stand up right then and there and say no.
All right, back into the phone lines we go. We got Joe in Columbia Falls listening to KJJR. Joe, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call. A couple issues. One was the pride flag issue in Missoula. I think that's an abomination. I think that's just, putting one group over everybody else, which shouldn't be there. And I think that Governor Gianforte, being a term-limited governor now, I think he should do more of a Trumpian move and just cut state funding to these cities that do this. Of course, something like that would get challenged in the court, but maybe what it'll do is bring more attention to these liberal court justices that just are real left-leaning and inserting their own opinion.
That's right. Let them embarrass themselves by siding with Missoula. Yeah, what about this Supreme Court ruling that came down yesterday? They struck down three pro-life laws from the 2021 legislative session. One of the bills, prevented abortion after 20 weeks, which, most people agree that abortion shouldn't happen after that period. And then just simply the offer of an ultrasound. Planned Parenthood doesn't want women to know that they did an ultrasound. It's crazy.
Well, that's kind of what I was going to talk about, too, was the Bill 136, especially that no abortion after 20 weeks, except for, the life of the mother or whatever. And, I think what it is the Montana Supreme Court, along with these other courts, state and federal, they're inserting their own opinion. They're not interpreting the law that was passed by the will of the people.
This is another angle of this open rebellion against the United States of America. Lawlessness. John, at least that's what I take from Joe's call there. Okay, you see, whether it's the rioting in the streets of L.A. or judges abusing their powers to stop President Trump's, border security agenda, or here in Montana in the liberal mob majority on the Montana Supreme Court to abuse their positions of power to reward their campaign donors. It's the continued lawlessness and rebellion against our country.
You and I both know retired Judge Siebel.
Great guy.
And, yeah, great guy. And I had numerous cases in front of him and his court. And you just sit down or have him come in as a guest someday and talk to him about these cases. He will laugh. He will laugh at the notion of all of these judges out here just absolutely either breaking the law or making their own law. He will just blow the whole thing up in better legal terms than I can. But it's just a part of the resistance, and they are also contempt traps coming out of these judges. They issue ridiculous rulings to see if you will just go ahead and defy them so that maybe they can set up a contempt or whatever for an impeachment of Donald Trump past the 26th midterm.
All right. Speaking of pro-life laws struck down by the Montana Supreme Court, CI 128, you guys remember Constitutional Initiative 128, the Montana Family Foundation has now filed a major legal challenge to strike down Constitutional Initiative 128. That was basically the No Limits Abortion ballot initiative. Now, they drafted the language so deceptively that people thought it would do the opposite of what it was actually going to do. But nonetheless, a very interesting legal challenge has just been filed by the Montana Family Foundation. I'll tell you more about that here right after the break, and then sneak in some more of your phone calls as well here. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so the Montana Family Foundation is filing a legal challenge to strike down Constitutional Initiative 128. Basically, they're pointing out how the very ballot initiative itself was in violation of the Montana Constitution. I'll talk more about that tomorrow on the show. I had a great conversation with Derek A. Stryker from the Montana Family Foundation. We got a bunch of callers on the line and John Jackson in the house with us today. So I'll talk more about that tomorrow. But big news there. And I think they've got a very good case that they should win. But given the current liberal mob on the Supreme Court, you know how that can typically go. Let's see. John, what do you want to talk about before I get to our next caller?
Well, great. You were talking about Stephen Miller earlier. This blends right into it. I don't know if you saw ABC anchor and lead journo scumbag over there. He decided he was going to rip his mask off last week and just go on a screed on Twitter about what a hateful person that Stephen Miller was. Just ripped his mask off and showed you exactly who he was. And he got suspended by ABC News for it. I mean, hurrah, hooray, big clap. For once, these people have consequences to just being who they are and just telling you straight up that they're not in any way unbiased journos.
That's right. You and I were talking about that off air earlier, and you were making the point that, man, in Trump's first term, he would have gotten a Pulitzer Prize for that. Now he's getting suspended. But I think ABC, didn't they lose a big lawsuit against Trump as well? So
yeah,
they got to tighten it up a little bit.
They've seen Trump hit all of these people with lawsuits, and he ends up winning. And see, the worst thing is then Trump has subpoena power to get in there and pull your emails and your communications and all that. And all that's just very embarrassing. They don't want any of that come out.
By the way, I know David Noble had fun on the show Friday and Monday. Big thanks to David for filling in for me. They were saying that Vice President J.D. Vance was maybe going to show up in Missoula, and Elon Musk was in the Missoula area last week. Apparently, Vance didn't make it to Missoula, but according to some news reports out there, they've got some flight restrictions in the Butte and the Dillon areas for an unnamed VIP, and Butte Silverbow officials told the Lee newspapers to reach out to the vice president's office. So who knows? Maybe VP Vance himself is in the house today.
That's my jet, Aaron. My jet's flying in there here later.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't want to say anything about it to anybody, but yeah, we've kind of got the area locked off.
Some fishing in the big hole. Keep that quiet, though. Celebrity social media influencer John Jackson. That's the
Don Jr.'s coming in. We're going fishing. Keep that quiet, though. Don't tell anybody.
There you go. Let's go to Ed in Whitefish. Ed, what's going on?
Hey guys, good show.
Great to hear from you.
About mentioning about the who's funding these insurrection in L.A. A lot of the professionally printed signs that you see at the bottom of the sign, you'll see that it's sponsored by PSL Web. That is the Party for Socialism and Liberation. That's where they get a lot of their funding. And on X, there's an account called Data Republican, who has traced a lot of the funding back to various communist sympathizing socialists and whatnot. So characterizing this as a communist insurrection is in no way incorrect.
Oh, no.
They're telling you flat out it's sponsored by the Party for Socialism and Liberation.
And who else? Who else, too? You're seeing the National Education Association taking part in this
Randy
as well.
Oh, yeah, Randy Weingarten.
Yeah.
Yep, Randy Weingarten's totally behind all this.
Some of the most outrageous stuff out there. Yeah, no, Ed, great point. That very group that you just mentioned, the PSL, the Party for Socialism and Liberation, is exactly who that Daily Caller article I mentioned earlier is referring to. That is the group that gets funded by American tech mogul Neville Singham, who is basically a big promoter of the Communist Chinese Party propaganda on American soil.
He's absolutely right. You know, Data Republican's doing great work out there. Our friend from Spaces, Niz Nelly, doing great work out there. Watch Laura Loomer. Watch those three accounts if you want to see the story behind who is propping this stuff up, who's funding it, who are the evil James Bond villains behind all of this stuff.
Grandpa Lou in Billings, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, my friends. My one suggestion for these riots down in Southern California and the L.A. area there, they need to get them water cannon trucks out there and them little pump trucks that go around the construction sites and clean out them little green outhouses. They need to be pumping that stuff in there. I think that would disperse.
I can see that.
People in a hurry.
Yeah, to send the shift towards the Adam Schiff people. You know, like I could see John out there holding that big, you know, tube. I'm reloaded.
Get some.
Yeah.
Well, you know how that, I guess the Japanese spray them. Not only they spray them, but they spray them with the blue paint, you know, to identify them later. But what's another better way to identify them later is from the stench.
Oh,
like Lou was pointing out there.
It is Los Angeles, and they are left wing protesters. I think they already smelled like that before they were sprayed.
Probably close.
Just a guess. Yeah.
But maybe
just
wet and stench. Put those two together.
Yeah. Did you see, speaking of ABC News, you were talking about Terry Moran, the permanently cross-eyed news anchor? I'm so serious. ABC News, one reporter was saying, well, people were just having fun watching cars on fire, and then Trump had to come in, you know, ruin all the fun.
It's mostly peaceful. Peaceful car burnings.
People were just having fun watching cars burn, and then Trump had to come in with the National Guard.
Oh, big man. Potty pooper. He's a potty pooper.
He ruined the Black Panther party.